Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings everyone on Earth and across the galaxy. This is Rebels Remembered, and as you noticed by the intro, and today we are covering the episode Gathering Forces.
That's right, it's technically a two-parter, but it's not like a part one, part two situation. We're basically continuing from our last episode, Empire Day, and this is kind of continuing into that. Short synopsis, the Rebel crew protects an Imperial deserter, which is, of course, Zeebo. This episode aired November 24th, 2014. It was written by Greg Wiseman and directed by Stuart Lee. So, we can just get right into it. This episode starts off with, like I said, we're going right off of Empire Day. And at the end of Empire Day, the Inquisitor and the Ties were after the Ghost because they've got Zeebo on board. Mm-hmm. So it kind of starts right in the middle of that. And of course, we were left with the question of Zeebo knows what happened to Ezra's parents. Yeah. Of course, Sabine's standing there kind of like, are you gonna, like, so I was like, I want to know the tea, you know, is he gonna answer the question, you know, and then Ezra's like, just go to your gunner so we can, you know, we have a job to do. Mm-hmm. And I love how he then turns around at Zeebo and, like, demands to know, are they dead? Where are they? What's going on? Mm-hmm. So basically it's just this whole first part is the Ghost is, like, trying to outmaneuver the Inquisitors after him, and the Ties are after him, and Hera's trying to make a jump into hyperspace, but during this battle, Chopper got fried, I think.
Yeah, Chopper is out of commission right now, and she's needing the navigation computer or something, so they can jump to a location. You can't just jump, you know, into, you can't just automatically go anywhere because you don't know where you're going to end up, you know. Maybe it's like a Nightcrawler thing. You have to
know where you're going.
So, yeah, Chopper's out of commission, so she's having difficulty doing that. And I think she calls Ezra to help fix
the nav
computer. But before that happens, you get this little nice thing about... it's not nice at all. You get this thing with Ezra, basically demanding answers, like you said, and Zeebo asking, well, you know, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me?
Oh, yeah.
And Ezra very bluntly says, I'll never forgive you. And we don't really get more than that about Zeebo's backstory. We don't really know how he knows Ezra. Was he the babysitter that came by when he was a young kid? Was he the nice neighbor that, you know, we don't really have that. We just know that he knew Ezra's parents were arrested for making those transmissions. What I would like to know information about, which we don't, is was he the one that turned them in?
Because
he was initially the one that warned them. That's what I thought.
I think he warned them and he knew
how that was going to play out.
Yeah, he knew exactly how it was going to play. He I can't blame the guy. He didn't want to be captured either.
Yeah.
So he kind of hid, I think. I think that's what happened. I'm not really sure. But yeah, that kind of, the connection between Zeebo and Ezra starts off this episode with, I'll never forgive you. That's a strong sentence to anybody.
Especially for someone that is trying to be a Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, work on that. Hera asks Ezra to fix the computer, which he can't do. He says it's not his specialty. And then Zeebo just walks in and fixes it.
Mm-hmm. So, when putting those coordinates in allows them to make the jump and escape, which is common in Rebels.
Yeah, a lot of jumps. And at this point, Hera's never met Zeebo.
Mm-hmm. She was filled in by people on the gunners saying, how are you, what, like, she was like, I feel like Hera was out of the loop a little bit, are we being chased? Remind me again. And they tell him about, oh, we've got this Rhodian who's got Imperial secrets in his head. Oh, yeah, that would do it.
That makes sense, yeah. Zeebo fixes it, they jump, but before they jump, the Inquisitor launches a tracker onto the hull of the Phantom. They don't know about it, but that's what he does before they jump.
So they not only do they have a tracker on the Ghost, apparently the Inquisitor can, like, sense through the Force, Kanan and Ezra, and where they are. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, okay, I'm looking at your notes. It says, Kanan asks Ezra to be honest with himself and his feelings about Zeebo. I remember this part. This is when he said, I don't know, like, the whole story, but you do care about him and what happens to him. And he's, I feel like Ezra's not being honest, like, with himself, like he says.
And that's what he says, you'll never become a Jedi if you can't be honest. Ezra doesn't want to face it.
Yeah.
He is feeling all these emotions about seeing Zeebo and his connection, but now he knows that Zeebo, I think we said last episode, joined up for the Imperial Information Office, and that's kind of shady, and Ezra said so. But I think he doesn't want to face it and be honest with, because I think deep down, Ezra doesn't want to hand him over to the Empire. Deep down, he doesn't want that to happen, but he's not going to say that. Yeah, he just wants to just...
He's like, I think the line is, don't much know, don't much care. And he puts on the little helmet. Which, first appearance of the helmet, the personalized helmet that Sabine painted for him. From Breaking Ranks, the one that... I think that's the one he took, right?
Mm-hmm.
Breaking Ranks. But yeah, we've all been there. And I don't want, like, downplay the severity of losing your parents to a person that may or may not have something to do with it. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like, and I was telling you this yesterday, when I get up in the morning and my hair looks terrible and I'm having a bad hair day and I'm trying to do everything I can with it and I'm just like, I don't care. I say that out loud, but internally, I do really care. So, not the same, but...
Yeah, he's feeling a lot of emotions, anger, frustration. And Sabine tells him that she thinks that Zeebo volunteered for his Imperial implants and stole them as a way to atone for past sins. So it's kind of interesting when you look at it that way. Maybe Zeebo joined up and went to this very hard procedure, because when you do that, you like lose your personality.
Mm-hmm. Become more machine.
Just to steal them to make up for what he did in the past.
Yeah.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. If that's, I mean, we don't know. We don't really get confirmation.
We do later, kind of. I'll talk about that later.
That's huge.
Yeah. But, again, Ezra is just, again...
He's not seeing it that way.
No. He's seeing it as, you didn't care what happened to my parents, you were too busy.
You care now?
Yeah.
After the fact? So while they're talking about the Empire, all of a sudden Zeebo's thing goes off and it projects this image of an XX23S thread tracer. If you want to be... Just call it a tracer.
Just call it a tracker.
Which is what the Inquisitor attached to the ghost. Zeebo says some facts about it or something while they're standing there Then they start going, is it possible that they're tracking us?
Because normally, you know, the way they're talking in this episode, technology at this point hasn't gotten to that point where they can track a ship in hyperspace.
Yeah.
But I guess they can now, because they have this long, long name tracker thing. So, you know, they freak out. They're like, oh, we're being tracked. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they run a diagnostic on the ghost.
Yeah, they get Chopper to do it after. Chopper's fine.
Yeah, he woke up. He was a little freaked out from being out of commission, but, you know. They get him to do a diagnostic and confirms that, yes, they're being tracked, but conveniently, it is not on the ship, the full ship, it's on the Phantom, which you can detach from the ghost.
From the ghost, yeah. So, lo and behold, Kanan's like, okay, well, we can just... Of course, then he says, me and Ezra, because I think he's kind of thinking the Inquisitor's tracking them as well. I think he says that, does he?
Yeah, he says, as long as me and Ezra are on the ship, we're still in danger because he can
sense
track us.
So. So he and Ezra, he makes this decision that he and Ezra will get into the Phantom and detach while in hyperspace. Right, what's it called? I can't pronounce it. Fort Anaxes?
Anaxes? That's how I pronounce it. I don't know if that's right.
Which is the asteroid that was in Out of the Darkness where these giant Phrynox live.
But before they leave, Sabine is having this moment with Ezra, and she's saying that, you know, you should really talk to Zeebo, you know, while they're doing this side mission to basically get him off their trail, the ghost is going to try and deliver Zeebo to some other rebels that might be able to help him. And of course, it'll be the last time he'll see this person, you know, someone that has told you that they know have information about your parents. And Ezra is once again dismissive, and he's like, which I understood him in this. He says, I've been on my own since I was 7. If I ever believed that they were alive, I wouldn't have survived. Which makes sense. If he had just, as a 7-year-old kid, just waited around until his parents did or did not show up, like...
His story could have been a lot different.
Yeah. But I also think it was him avoiding dealing with it if it was bad. It's sort of like if you have someone that is very sick in your family or going through something and a doctor has a diagnosis, but you're like, nope, not gonna stand here and hear and listen to it. I'm just gonna do my own thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're afraid of if it comes back and something's bad, you'll have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So I think it's part of that too. Like if you find out your parents are dead, and that would confirm it to him, but you'd have to, what my therapist used to say, you have to sit in the mess. You have to sit in the fact that your parents are dead and they're not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also part of it.
So Sabine's trying to tell him, hey, this is, when we take him away, you may never, ever see him again.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some sort of closure here. First of all, he has this bit of information. You need to know. Like, she's trying to tell him, like, you need to know what happened.
But then you have the moment where Kanan was listening to this conversation mm-hmm. outside the door, and he decides not to go in. He's just kind of like, I want to hear this. mm-hmm. Like, secretively. But, yeah, the part that I never noticed that when we were watching it is when he's, like, ready to go. Like, I totally didn't just hear what happened.
wasn't eavesdropping.
It wasn't eavesdropping. He's like, you're ready to go? And then... Ezra's like, yeah, and then Sabine is about to say something, I guess to, again, plead with him to talk to Zeebo, and it's very quick. It's Kanan, like, barely puts up a hand as just to tell her, nope, he's made his choice, he doesn't want to, you know, I never caught
yeah,
that.
And he says, okay, and then they walk away. Yeah, it's like, no, he needs to make this decision on his own,
mm-hmm.
good or bad or indifferent, whatever happens, it's up to him. And also, I will have to mention, you know, he does overhear, which we'll get back to this later, Ezra saying, you know, if I had let myself believe my parents would come back and save me, I'd never learned how to survive. So the word there is survive. Yeah. So we'll get to that here in mm-hmm. a minute. So they board the Phantom, and they detach from the ghost while in hyperspace, which is insane.
Could burn up.
To burn up in the atmosphere. and they start heading toward Fort Anaxis, or... the asteroid base. We cut to the Inquisitor, who senses movement in the Force, and the tracking device confirms it. Sorry, I just had to, I read that sentence and I was like, he's like, ooh, I'm right. It's kind of what my brain did for some reason.
They're at this planet. Bing, bing, bing. They're at this planet. I told you.
Totally called it. So they're getting ready to head right, you know, to land on this asteroid base. Ezra tells them, you know, I'm scared. Rightfully so. This is the same place where those giant creatures were. Yeah. They're not friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanan says, well, I'm going to need you to connect with them. Which is also calling back to the previous episode where he's trying to connect to the Lothcat. Totally different, bigger creature.
And he still never got it, I don't think.
No.
He never connected with the Lothcat.
And he says, I want you to learn by surviving. So it's calling back to
what he heard previously. Oh, okay. I do like the quote, lots of people are afraid, but admitting it like you just did makes you braver than most. I like that line.
That's true, because someone said about, especially with Ezra's journey, is each season he's dealing with a certain emotion. I mean, he deals with a lot of emotions because mm-hmm. he's a kid, but to me, the overarching theme for Ezra in this season was fear. You know, and fear is a very potent and strong emotion that if you're going to become a Jedi, you have to confront.
And confront it in a way that...
is good.
Is using the good side,
yeah.
of course. Which is really difficult.
Yeah, very hard. They land at Fort Anaxis? I can't say it. They land at the asteroid base. Kanan sends Ezra into the Phrynok hangar to, quote, make some new friends. A retest of his ability to reach out through the Force and connect with other living things. Then the Jedi finds the tracker and tosses it away from the ship.
That was easy. I'm so glad it wasn't more complicated than just going, turning it.
Just pull it off.
Yeah.
So while Kanan's doing that, here's Ezra in this hangar with all these creatures staring at you. I mean, I'd be scared. Mm-hmm. and I love I laugh at it every time when Ezra's like, one with the Force, one with the Force, one with the Force. Like, he's totally freaking out. And I don't think saying that mantra is helping
you. It's grounding you in any way, you know?
And then we were just pivotal moment where Kanan tells him, you're blocked. You're not connecting because you're blocked. And
yeah. You're thinking about something else other than these things.
Yeah, what you need to be focused on.
Or you're pretty focused on your fear of these things.
Exactly.
These Fradox. And he doesn't know which. And that's when Ezra is like, I'm not afraid of them. He's like, oh, okay, so it's not that. Okay, it's something then.
I think Kanan knows.
He knows. He wants him to say it.
Say it, yeah. Finally, Ezra admits that he's afraid of the truth. And he says, I forgive you, Zeebo. I'm sorry. And as he says this, this is the moment where he fully lets go, really deeply connects with the Force. And as he says this, Zeebo aboard the Ghost hears it. And he accepts Ezra's apology and says he is sorry.
He has another moment of clarity where he's able to make words that aren't jarbled.
This gets me every time. I cry almost every time when he says, I'm sorry for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, he finally, because we started this episode with, I will never forgive you for that.
Would you say that's too quick, though, for an episode? Going from not forgiving to complete forgiveness in the span of 10 minutes?
I think Ezra deep down did forgive him.
Okay.
Do you think it was too quick?
I'm just thinking about the pacing, you know. I don't know if... It did seem quick to me, but again, I think it's hard for me to determine where Ezra was being honest with himself and where he wasn't.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a lot. We had to deal with that at the same time we're being chased by Ty, so a lot wasn't focused, you know, there.
True. That happens a lot in Rebels. It's like, we need closure, but there's all this fighting and we've got this space battle going on, so we'll deal with that in a minute. Like, but it's handled very quickly in a lot of situations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how did Zeebo hear that?
I think when you have the Force, you're connected to every living thing in the galaxy. Zeebo is a living thing. He's a creature. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I think not only did Ezra connect with all these Phrynoxes around, but also he reached out through the Force and connected to Zeebo.
But yeah, I kind of like you. It touches me a little bit because you get Peter Minkles, the guy that voices Zeebo, the very soft, forgive me for everything kind of thing. And I was like, oh,
and also <Poor guy. laughs> forgiveness, especially when you're becoming a Jedi, that's a whole nother forgiveness. I've heard this from people is it's not so much for that person that you're forgiving, it's for yourself to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Until you forgive, you can't move on because you're holding on to
just something
all this stuff.
You're holding on to, yeah.
So when he fully forgives him and he lets go and it's just him and the Force, mm-hmm. and I don't know how many count. I don't know. I don't have a head count of all these creatures that he's just. He couldn't even connect to one Lothcat, mm-hmm. and now he's connected to, like, I'd say 14.
Yeah, and once Phrynox. He does, it kind of cuts back to him, and then even Kanan is impressed. He's able to control all of these Phrynox, and they just sit calmly, not trying to eat them, just kind of sitting, chilling. But yeah, the reason I brought that up was about, like, forgiveness and things like that, is that I remember when this show was airing, and we'll get to it in a minute, but there were so many people, in the fandom, there was a particular community that believed Ezra would probably go to the dark side.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if anyone knows this. So, apparently, I don't know where this nickname came from. I guess it was the blue hair and the blue eyes that Ezra had, but he was called a blueberry,
Yes.
By the fandom. Specifically Tumblr, which Tumblr's not
Tumblr. Oh,
I miss
gosh.
Tumblr a little bit.
I used to go on Tumblr just to see the cool fan art and stuff and little things that people will make in the Rebels fandom, and there's a whole thread about he's a blueberry.
Yeah, he's a blueberry, and then when he's dark side, he's dark blueberry. So
blackberry.
Just I feel like a lot of that. Darkberry. I feel like a lot of that came from the fact that his story. There are obvious parallels to his story in Anakin's, little Anakin's.
Mm, yeah,
he's got parents. He has a connection to them.
Yeah,
most Jedi Padawans don't know their parents. Just having those connections that other Padawans maybe didn't have,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to protect them, that can lead to some dark stuff.
So we cut away from the asteroid a little bit. We're back on the Ghost with Hera. And she is rendezvousing with Fulcrum. And I think it's funny, Sabine and Zeb are like, well, can we meet him? And then she's like, no.
Which I have in my notes is the second appearance a Fulcrum speaking.
Yeah. She's getting ready to deliver Zeebo to Fulcrum and those allies, and Zeebo tells her, you know, she tells him that, well, what you've done, the data you have is going to be valuable to the rebellion and all that, and he's like, well, and I think it's so sweet, Zeebo says, that doesn't matter.
So it's like the whole reason he did it was to know about them. Yeah. The whole reason he did was to get just information on his parents.
Yeah, because he says, I accessed the file on Ezra's parents, and I know what happened to them. So it makes you wonder if he just did that just to find his friends and figure out what happened.
Which is a lot, which I wish Ezra was here to hear him say that.
Yeah,
but
he's not.
He's not.
And she says, well, tell me what you found, and I'll tell him. Which we don't ever learn that until way later in the season 2.
Mm-hmm.
What she learned.
Yeah.
So let's leave it there. back on the asteroid, the Inquisitor and his little troopers arrive. And I have to say, we can cut this out, but I can't. There's one in the front. I thought he was holding a clipboard. I was like, well, he thinks he's important. It's a clipboard. And then I got to look at it. Oh, wait, no, he's holding the transmitter to the tracker. But I swear it looks like a clipboard.
And also, I'm sorry, but what a useless position. You have the Inquisitor who can track them. Do you need that?
Do you need the beeper?
You know what planet they're on? There's a hangar. Where could they possibly be?
That's true. I didn't think about that. So they approach the hangar, and then what they don't realize is Kanan and Ezra are inside, and they're kind of sitting in meditative poses, and they've controlled all the Phrynox, and through the Force, they're sending them to attack all the troopers.
And that's always funny. They're over here?
Here?
Question mark.
What is this? What have we walked into? Of course, the only person it doesn't affect is the stupid Inquisitor. I mean, he just takes a lightsaber and cuts one down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has a little moment with Kanan, and then Kanan's like, well, if you want something done right... Like, well, I gotta take you out.
And I love Kevin Kiner, is that his name? I love Kevin Kiner's score when they start to go, like, fight with lightsabers. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just love that moment.
Yeah, the music's really good there. Mm-hmm. And this is the second duel I think he has with the Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never thought about this, but according to Freddie Prinze Jr., who voices Kanan, each duel he has with the Inquisitor, he learns something.
Ah.
So he gets better at kind of filling out the enemy. Because he's still... I don't want to say he's new to lightsaber combat, but he's not...
He's a little rusty.
Yeah. So I think at one point he pulls out his blaster while he's fighting with the lightsaber. That doesn't work. And then the Inquisitor force pushes him against a wall. And of course, when he slams into it, he's knocked unconscious. And I think, does the Inquisitor take his lightsaber?
Ezra, actually.
Oh, yeah. Ezra jumps in at that moment and grabs his lightsaber.
The first time we've seen him attempt to use a lightsaber defensively. I would think. Besides cutting up the milk cartons in that other episode.
Yeah, true. And all the Inquisitor does is take it from him.
He has a little womp womp.
Like, well,
takes it away from him.
It's like, you're not going near him. And then he just takes it away from him in like a second. And then I think he pushes Ezra toward the edge of a cliff in this hangar, which is kind of odd.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts walking toward him with like holding his lightsaber and Kanan's. And you just see like
the sparks
of like... Which to me, I guess, it might just be an already shot, but to me, you can make a parallel between dark side, light side.
Oh,
in that moment.
Yeah, yeah, you could.
I mean, that's kind of how I looked at it.
I loved just the way it looked, you know. I'm like, I'm kind of that person. Sometimes I can get, oh, it meant this. But other times I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's a cool shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jason Isaacs.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, he's really good.
So he's walking toward Ezra, he's taunting him, he's egging him on. Ezra gets angry, rightfully so. And then the Inquisitor really hits him deep with, your master will die, your friends will die.
And the coup de grace, everything you hope for will be lost.
Yeah, that's, I forgot about that part.
Everything you've hoped for will be lost. Okay, this kid doesn't know what happened to his parents.
Mm-mm.
What do you think he's going to tie that to? Not just rebellion, but the other family that he's made, you know, and mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's already feeling those emotions too. He's been feeling them this whole...
The last two episodes.
Yeah.
This one and the one before that.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of gets a nerve with Ezra. And then he reaches into the Force and he brings out this huge...
Mama Phrynok. That's what production called it.
Really? I thought you just made that up.
No, I did not make that up. It was on Star Wars.com. It says, The massive Frynok was called Mama Frynok in production.
Okay, Mama Bear comes out, and the Inquisitor retreats. Kanan wakes up in time to see what is happening and is concerned for Ezra. Because he sees him embracing the dark side a little bit. Just a little bit. He gets it to attack the Inquisitor while they're fighting. He's fighting with this beast now. It knocks away Kanan's lightsaber in the resulting battle, and Ezra collapses from the dangerous connection. While the Inquisitor is down dealing with Mama Frynok over here, Kanan runs to Ezra. Of course, he has to wake him up because he's unconscious. And he has no idea what has happened.
And can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Did you know that he was using the dark side when you first saw this?
I knew something was wrong.
Okay, I'm an idiot. Because I was like, oh, okay, he just used the Force, you know. It wasn't until Ezra said the line, I'm so cold, I was like, oh, crap.
I didn't know. I thought he just overdid it or something. But the way his face looked and the way how angry he was, like, oh, this doesn't feel...
And plus, Kanan's like, no, like, what are you doing?
And I'm like, what's happening? I think my first reaction was, what is happening? This isn't good. So Kanan picks him up and he takes him to the Phantom. The Inquisitor is still battling this beast and then kind of yells at him to go away and he goes away. And right before Kanan gets aboard the Phantom, the Inquisitor, like he always does,
chucks his lightsaber.
And of course, Kanan deflects it, as always. And before they leave the planet, Kanan shoots up the Inquisitor's ties, like, you're not following us.
Was it a tie or was it a shuttle?
Oh, it was a shuttle, yeah.
It doesn't matter. I think it was a shuttle, but...
We built up a ship.
Their only means of escape. And now they're stuck with the Frynoks.
Yeah.
For a little bit.
The Inquisitor says, my master will not be pleased. Like, this isn't the first time he failed. It's okay.
Maybe it's a three-strike thing.
Three strikes and you're out. Yeah, this is your second strike. And yeah, in this part, when Kanan tells him, you know, Ezra doesn't remember... anything. And then Kanan, he's like, I saved us. And Kanan's like, you did. And he's like, but something doesn't feel right. That was me. I was like, what? Okay. This something's off. Totally off than what we've seen previously in like Force abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And Kanan tells him, if your will isn't strong enough when you open yourself up to the Force, you become vulnerable to the dark side. And Ezra says, sorry, I know this by heart. Ezra says, but I was just trying to protect you. And Kanan's like, I know, but your anger and fear caused the giant creature to attack. Which kind of goes back into the thing you're talking about with Anakin, with a lot of dark side users had good intentions in the beginning.
That's true.
He wanted to save Padme.
Go back further than that.
He wanted to save his mother. You can have good intentions, but the way you go about it, when you're scared and you're afraid, very powerful emotions, if you let them to consume you, that's not good.
But, not playing the Sith card here, did they survive? Because he summoned the Frynok. How else had they have gotten out of that situation?
True. I mean, that's true.
Because the other ones clearly weren't doing it. He would just cut them up. Well, I guess that'd be a trap, huh?
I don't. You're making me think. Quit. And then Kanan tells him, he apologizes. He's like, I'm sorry. Your powers are growing and I didn't tell you. Which, Kanan, I'm sorry. That should have been lesson one.
I love Kanan, but this is like the third time that he said, I'm sorry I didn't teach you that. I'm sorry I didn't teach you that.
Right.
Sorry to teach you that.
You should have told, okay. Just so you know, there's this thing called the dark side. And I think even the Inquisitor says, have you taught him nothing in Rise of the Old Masters? And he's like, there's the dark side. Ezra's like, what's that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, Kanan, you should have told him.
Kanan doubts himself. True. Kanan doesn't. I mean, we had progress in a couple episodes.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to teach you. I'm not going to try anymore. But he's still dealing with some internal stuff that we'll get to later.
Yeah. So they get back aboard the Ghost. Zeb, Sabine, and Hera are there to greet them. And Hera's about to say, Ezra, there's something I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And she's interrupted by Kanan, who says he needs some time to himself.
And we need to talk.
Yeah.
About what happened.
So,
Which makes me think, is that why Hera didn't want to tell him until season 2?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Why was she so open about it and then they didn't say anything after that conversation?
Kanan might have told her, I would not... There's until you have, you know, more information, we should probably just
okay
not say anything. That's probably what their conversation was. So Ezra goes back to his little gunner area, and Sabine enters and tells him that she found a hollow disk from his house, and she's cleaned it up, and it's a picture of his parents.
Mira and Ephraim Bridger. I think this is the first time we actually hear their names. I think Zeebo says that in the episode.
This is the first time we see what they look like. So even the viewer, this is like, oh, this is his parents. This is what they look like, you know. I mean, it's a painting.
It's not, it's not 3D animation. It's not CG animation. It's like 2D, but,
you know. But it's nice to get a name with the face, or faces to the name.
Yeah.
She tells him happy birthday, and that's how the episode ends. What would you rate this episode?
I have 8.5 or a 9.
I actually have 8.
Okay, mine was higher. Why? What's going on?
I didn't know we could do 0.5s. I thought we just 1 through 10.
Well, I'm teetering all between 8.5 and 9.
I don't know. It's a really good episode.
It's a really good episode.
We say that about every episode,
I know. Though. Shoot, I'm going to give it a 10. Wait. Yeah, I'll give it a 10. I'll do that.
Wow. Alrighty. I'm going to give it 8. That's probably your highest one you've done.
I think so. Yeah. Because, I mean, the pacing is really good. There's not really that many plot holes in it that I can see.
Yeah.
I guess the mental side of, like, not being honest with yourself and confronting truths that may be hard for you to accept. It's just really powerful to me. So why would you give it an 8? What's wrong with it?
Actually, I mean,
I convince you?
You kind of did a good argument. I'm going to give it a 9.
9?
And that's okay. The highest I've done as well.
Yeah.
I just love this episode so much. It was...
Yeah, but we are biased a little bit
here. I am biased because this is what got me invested. I'm like, okay, I want to know what's going to happen with Ezra now.
Mm-hmm.
After this moment.
And by the way, when this originally aired...
November 24th, 2014.
There was a hiatus directly after
this.
Yes,
there was.
They didn't show new episodes until January 5th.
Yep.
But guess what I did between November 24th? Well, actually the next episode. I got more invested in it, but... between that, I was like, what happened? Where's the rest of it?
Yeah, what's going to happen now? You know, I kind of want to see what happens next.
Yeah, does Ezra turn to the dark side? These are important questions. All right, everyone. You can find us, Rebels Remembered, on X, formerly Twitter, and also YouTube.